You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern and 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Drop us a text and a voicemail, either one, 331-979-1369. We are back from the weekend, and wow, do we have a lot to get to. Matt, I appreciate you taking the time to be flexible while I get a flight off of Hoiberg Island, so I appreciate that. But more so than less, we held off the podcast because we wanted to make sure we could get the audio to you guys from Jim Boylen, new head coach, and also from John Paxson. If you haven't heard the news, Fred Hoiberg is out. Matt, I'm surprised, but I am a little bit shocked by the timing.
Hey, man, I mean, people keep telling me, what's up, Bulls Nation? Man, what a crazy fun Monday we're having. People kept saying to me, I can't believe, like, the timing. Come on, you just got Markkanen back. He's played one game. You still haven't gotten Dunn and Bobby back. What's up with the timing? I told you I would not be surprised at all if Hoiberg got fired midseason. Before this season even started, I said, totally within the realm of possibility for them to can Fred. And we heard Paxson say just now in his press conference after practice, this was not a decision made about wins and losses. This is not a decision that would have been affected or altered either way as far as guys coming back from injury. The key that Paxson kept repeating was there is a spirit and an energy with this group right now that seems to be missing or seems to be lacking from his advantage, from his vantage point, from Gar Forman's vantage point, from the Reinsdorf vantage point. And that is not something they believe would have changed regardless of getting Bobby Portis back, regardless of getting Dunn back, and now having Markkanen back. It was a...
We were in this a similar situation last year at this time. Poor record. We had some injuries to Zach was not playing yet. We had the incident in training camp, so we didn't have a full roster. But the entire energy about this group was different back then. And we felt that here in the last several weeks, that something's different. And what we're lacking is kind of an energy and a spirit about our team. And we need to get that back. And it's not as simple as saying we would have gotten that with healthy players, with Lowry coming back, Chris Dunn coming back, Bobby coming back. It wasn't going to be that simple. It was more than that. We need to find a spirit to our group that's been missing and missing for quite some time. The other thing is that from Jerry Reinsdorf, Michael, myself, and Gar, we have a high standard for how we want the game to be played. And we've had discussions with Fred and staff for for all the time he's been here. And we've talked about a way of playing. And yes, the injuries have played a part in us maybe not being able to do that, but you have to be able to get your identity across to your team. And we just have felt that we're not playing the style with the force that we want our group to play with. And that can be, you may not win games, but you can get any of your players to play that way. So that's why we've decided to do it now with our, you know, three of our more talented players coming back. We need to identify the right way to play, and we need that spirit back with our group.
You know, and because of that, I say the timing to me is not surprising. It's not about the timing. It's them finally deciding that Fred is not the guy.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest question that I have taking away from everything that I heard. It's like, why now? Like, what was the point of why now? Like, I get the energy level wasn't there and the effort. And he said that there's small things. It wasn't one large thing that ultimately made this change. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, what are those small things then? Like,
there's so many small things that go into being a head coach in this league. It's a very difficult job, but there are a lot of small things that go into it. And again, from our position, we felt that there were a lot of things that need to be addressed and addressed immediately.
What are you seeing? And obviously, Fred Hoiberg has said multiple times, like, we've made jokes on this podcast about how many times are the Bulls going to come out after games and say there was a lack of energy, there was a lack of effort. Man, as much as Paxson has said, too, that he doesn't believe, or Jim Boylan even said to back this up, is he didn't believe that the players started to tune him out, that some of the players weren't listening to him or weren't buying into what Fred was dishing out anymore. And I don't believe that for a second. I feel like if there is a mood or an energy swing, and that's the point that they want to make, then to me, that's saying that a lot of the guys on this roster just said, you know what, I'm going to play for myself. I'm out and I'm not listening to Fred Hoiberg. And that to me is the most justified reason for why it happened right now. And, you know, we want to break down everything that has been said from Paxson and Boylan to all of a sudden why this came about and why this happened now. And all of that happening, Matt, while this is overshadowing the debut of our sweet prince in Lauri Markkanen and our future key to potentially the rise back to competitiveness. But staying on Fred Hoiberg, can I ask you, you know, when you reflect back on everything that he's done here in Chicago, the 3 and like a fraction years that he was here, what do you feel, what can you take away from the Fred Hoiberg era and ultimately nothing. Kind of closing the chapter on that?
I take nothing away from the Fred Hoiberg era. I say it's like foolish to even call it the Fred Hoiberg era. That's how little of an imprint he left on this organization. And look, I'm not mostly blaming Fred today. I think Fred was a good college coach, and I think he should go back and coach college basketball again. I don't think he has what it takes to coach at the NBA level. I've said that many times on this podcast. So firing Fred and firing Fred now, fine. I don't have a problem with that. But to me, the Fred Hoiberg era is a continuation of the era of a front office that doesn't seem to have a clue what the fuck it's doing. Pardon my language. They chose this guy. They chose this guy and validated their decision to run Tom Thibodeau out of town despite constantly overachieving with injury-riddled rosters, despite making a 20-win leap and becoming a one seed in the East, despite all the things that Tibbs did here. And yes, Tibbs had his faults, but they ran that guy with his immensely long assistant coaching resume at the NBA level, coaching championship-caliber teams in Boston, coaching competitive teams in Houston, New York, all these places, and handpicked Fred Hoiberg. Fresh-faced, baby-faced Fred Hoiberg. Hey, look what he did with the Iowa State men's basketball program. Cool, that's our guy. And Fred came in here and pretty much within the first month or so on the gig, got emasculated by Jimmy Butler in a post-game interview saying Fred needs to coach harder. Never after that gained any respect from the old Bulls players of Jimmy and Joakim and Derek and Pau and all those guys, and certainly never had respect in the locker room in the Jimmy and D-Wade and Rondo era, and still even with this young team, even with the substantial egos of young players like Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker, has not had any kind of hold on that locker room and has not had any respect from his players at the NBA level. So, no, I'm not calling it the Fred Hoiberg era. I'm not taking anything away from the Fred Hoiberg era because there was no Hoiberg era. The dude, like, it's not even right to call the dude vanilla because at least vanilla is a flavor. The dude did nothing, had no personality, had no influence on this team, and that's why he's gone.
One thing that bothered me about a lot of the Bulls fans today is their evaluation of what happened and how they feel and their reaction. They're taking the anger that they have for the front office, and they're using it and caping with Fred Hoiberg. And to me, it's kind of a weird situation. You know, I heard a lot of fans slander Fred Hoiberg for the type of coach that he was, and he wasn't getting the energy out of these guys and, you know, not having the relationship, which I found it very strange that the front office used the one biggest weakness that we knew from day one, from year one, like you had just mentioned with Butler and Noah and then on to Rondo and Wade. We knew he couldn't connect with stars, but yet you hit the rebuild button and said, you know what, we're still going to go ahead with Fred Hoiberg, even though we have that weakness. And now we're sitting here 1 month left in 2018. We knew that was his main weakness, and they used it as the scapegoat. And I was pissed off about that, too. It's like you knew who he was 2 years ago. You knew who he was during the losing streak last year. You knew all of this. And then on top of that, to say that even without Bobby Portis, even without Chris Dunn, even without Lauri Markkanen, even without Denzel Valentine, the guys should go out there and compete and bring a certain type of energy level every single night. I don't disagree with that, but I disagree with the being able to evaluate Fred Hoiberg as a coach when you send him out there with six G League players, man. Like to me, that just doesn't make any sense. And I don't know if it goes even deeper than this, Matt, and this is what I want to ask you about. Does it go even deeper, and why did all of a sudden it happen right now? Does it go deeper than, hey, this is how we want to use Jabari going forward? And nobody asked Jim Boylan today about how he's going to use Parker going forward. Was this, hey, you know what? We said at the beginning of the season, we want to see Parker play at the three. And Fred said, basically, no, I have no interest in doing that. Nobody asked Boylan what he was going to do with Parker. And I know that's not like a main concern right now, but I still have that feeling inside me that like this front office still wants Parker to look good and want them to put him at the three and to see if he can work there. And I don't know if Fred Hoiberg just butted heads and said, you know what, I'm not doing that. And same thing with Cameron Payne. Throw Cameron Payne out there. Like those types of moves make me feel like those types of things added up on top of this energy level that they consistently went back to and said. So adding all that together, I feel like it's a weird position to be in right now as a Bulls fan, because you don't necessarily hate Fred Hoiberg and the way in all the shit that he's been given, but at the same time, a lot of people are caping him and pointing their real frustration at the front office, which it should be. It should be towards them. So
all of the frustration should be at the front office.
Right.
Still, always, that's never changed. And look, I just went on a little rant about how little I care about Fred Hoiberg as Bulls head coach in a list of however many coaches this organization has had over the years. I think it's like 21, 22. I think Fred was 22. Boylan will be 23. Look, that was just me like poke a little fun at Fred saying, hey, yeah, you asked me what I'll take away from the Hoiberg era. I don't even call it the Hoiberg era because that's how little personality the dude had. But you're right. This is all on the front office because they picked this guy. And dude, I told you, Jordan, it would be so predictable. This was not surprising at all that they used Fred as the scapegoat. They had Fred fall on his sword for them, even though they said, oh, Fred's this great offensive guru who's going to change who's going to modernize our offense the way that the NBA has played. And he's great with communication. And we're going to have great open communication lines between coaching staff in the front office and the coaching staff and our players. And like they talked him up so much, and of course at some point it was going to come to this. So to your point though about what you know Jim Boylan is going to do with Jabari, and if that has anything to do with the timing here, I think again with the timing, they just, you know, it's, well, they went a little earlier than they usually do, right? With Scott Skiles, it was
Christmas Day press conference.
People kept talking about this could be like the Christmas from hell where you get fired on during the holidays, because that's what the Bulls have done in years past with relieving coaches of their duties. Fred didn't even make it to Christmas. But going back to Jabari, he wasn't asked specifically about it, but Jim Boylan did offer up the information that starting Tuesday against the Pacers, Markkanen will be starting, not coming off the bench, and Jabari Parker will be running the second unit. Jabari coming off the bench. So give credit to Fred that he put his foot down and said to Gar and all of his guys, look, you told me that to try and make Jabari play at the three and make that work. I can't. He can't. It doesn't work. So, no. The answer to your question, do you think that they're going to try and make Jim Boylan do that? No. I think Jim Boylan knows just as well as Fred Hoiberg that Jabari can't play the three in this league. And I think that Jim Boylan has the stones on day one to come in and say, guess what? Jabari still hasn't shown me enough to prove that he earns and deserves a starting spot on this team, even though Jabari's played better in this recent stretch of games than he did to start the season. So I'm excited, at the very least, to see what Jim Boylan does with this team moving forward, because Markkanen, of course, should be starting. And Jabari, in my opinion, should be coming off the bench. He's 2 for 2. Let's see what he does from here on out.
I missed that little side piece from Jim Boylan. I wasn't paying attention. So that's interesting, because I was like, hey, nobody asked about that. And that's your $20 million man that you signed in the offseason. Matt, the only thing that I will go back to real quick, and we can stop talking about the timing of the firing, and we can kind of get into what Paxson had to say at the press conference. I want to feed a lot of the audio to our audience that wasn't able to hear Jim Boylan speak either. We'll give you the highlights of that as we kind of go through each of the questions that were asked, some of the responses too. But I kind of want to wrap up on the whole timing of this, because think about back to media day, think about back to even maybe draft night, post-draft night, when they held their press conference during the second round of the NBA draft, for those who don't remember that. They talked about the faith that they had in Fred Hoiberg, and that they felt like the chemistry here was solid, and that Fred had got these guys to at least buy into something. Do you remember this at all? And I can pull the audio for our audience too.
Yeah, sure.
They all buy into what Fred Hoiberg is doing, and they did a great job this summer.
About Fred, what do you need to see from him this year, and what would you like to see from him? And Fred, what would you like to show this year as a coach?
Well, let me start with, last year in a lot of ways was difficult from the get-go, and I thought Fred and his staff handled last year incredibly well. You start in training camp with the incident that happened between Bobby and Nico. We got it rolling a little bit, and then we had the injuries. We made the decision organizationally to play a lot of our young guys. Fred kept a very positive, upbeat attitude with our guys, and so that's a huge thing for us. I think more than anything, we're all on the same page. We had a lot of discussions this summer about our roster, about how we want to play. I think this roster could potentially be more conducive to how Fred wants to play. Maybe more, we keep using the word versatility, but we have some versatile guys that maybe we can play a little smaller at times if we choose to. And that's, where Fred has had success in the past. So we're very comfortable with where we're at in terms of Fred and his relationship with us, his relationship with the players, and how we want to play. And I thought he did a lot of really good things last year.
And then all of a sudden, now we're only 3 months from that, and now all of a sudden the switch has flipped. So I'm just very curious about that too, as far as like, how do you go from 3 months ago at the beginning of the season when you were fully healthy to now at this point when you're not fully healthy, and it's not fair to evaluate Fred Hoiberg on, and then all of a sudden you say, well, these guys don't have energy and nobody's buying into what Fred Hoiberg said. How does that change in just 3 months? To me, I don't understand that, because it was all high praises in September, and then now we're here in the first couple of days in December, and now it's changed. That's what, 2 full months since they spoke at media day? Like, that to me, that's only like 60, 65 days. That's weird timing.
But it is at least a sample size of almost 25 games, Jordan. And look, you can call out the hypocrisy of a lot of things that Paxson said today, and you can call out the hypocrisy of this front office, because there are so many examples of it. But when it comes to what he said today about not seeing that same spirit and energy, Paxson did praise Fred Hoiberg last season after going through such a difficult tanking season for at least getting his guys to buy in and try. The Bulls were not a good team last year, but the effort was there. So much so that on the back end of a tanking season, they accidentally won some games because a scrappy undermanned team was out there trying and competing, and they credited Fred Hoiberg for that. And that, to me, is logical. That, to me, makes sense. But what also makes sense is that yes, the Bulls are dealing with injuries and are undermanned and are lacking in talent to start this season. And they've got some ugly losses, and they've gotten blown out against top-tier opponents. But they've also had ugly, like unforgivably bad performances against bad opponents this season. And that is where the effort thing that Paxson is talking about. And look, I'm not defending Paxson's statements today. I'm just saying that to some degree, logically, based on the eye test of what we've seen in games this season, he's not wrong. It's like, and to me, the best way to look at it is this. When you see a guy like Ryan Arcidiacono or a guy like Shaq Harrison make a scrappy play where, you know, they get their hand in a passing lane, they dive on the ground for a loose ball, they dive out of bounds to try and save, you know, to keep a possession alive, and you say, wow, look at that great effort play. They stand out because there are so few of them this season. So many games, the Bulls are just going through the motions and looking like a team that doesn't give a fuck. So when the little moments of energy and spirit stand out, it should tell you that across the board, whether it's 12 guys or 7 in the rotation that Fred is using, not all of them are just playing with that same level of spirit and energy. And that is something that I can at least, based on what we've seen through 25 games, agree with. He's not wrong about that.
That's a good point. Those are all really good points to bring up. And I think about it, too, is like, you know, as the season progressed, and all of a sudden we started to see a little bit of a shift in focus on the floor, and then we heard the comments from Wendell Carter Jr. saying that we don't really gather together after timeouts, or if the coach doesn't call us together, we don't have a voice. And Paxson even said it today. He said that we were missing that voice, and apparently to the front office, that comes from the head coach first, which makes sense. But also, too, you don't have a voice as the player, because we've talked about it before, how Portis and Dunn maybe are those voices on the floor. To that end, though, thinking about, you know, it changing over so fast, and maybe it does come from a lot of the players thinking to themselves, hey, you know what, there's a lot of chatter, and let's not be stupid or naive here either. The players know what's going on. They know what's being said about their coach, and if they feel like they're in a position where he's on the hot seat, maybe a lot of those guys just say, you know what, he's not even going to be here, so why do I buy into a system that isn't going to be around in a handful of months or a year from now? So why should I buy into that? Maybe I'll just do things for myself. I'll put up stats for myself. And that's kind of an explanation that makes sense for this team in the first 20-25 games of the season, is they fractured, and individually at times guys have played well, but as a team and as a whole they have not at all. So I think it is part of the players too, just kind of tuning them out and saying, we don't have really that source that we can go to and buy in, because we don't know if he's going to be here long term. And maybe they just got fed up with too the way that the style of coaching, and they didn't agree with things too. So I think it's a collection of things. But to happen right now, I think I have to point to that more so than anything else.
I think, you know, they were just ready to move on. As Jim Boylan said, you know, the players in that locker room have a lot of love for Fred. You know, I really appreciate and value and respect what Fred and I did together as colleagues. And this is not saying anything bad about Fred. This is about this franchise moving forward. So fine. If you just got Markkanen back in the fold, you're about to get Bobby back, you're about to get Dunn back, and you really are John Paxson and Gar Foreman saying, we need to evaluate this young talent we have and see what works and see what doesn't work. If you're not convinced that Fred is the guy that these young players want to be playing for, if you're not convinced that he's the one who can get them to play with the right amount of spirit and energy on a nightly basis, and Jim Boylan can be that guy, because let's be real, Jim Boylan, certainly a more vocal in-game coach than Fred Hoiberg. Certainly a guy that has more personality than Fred Hoiberg. I mean, they want to see Dunn and Bobby and Markkanen and Wendell and all these young pieces play hard down the stretch to finish this season, regardless of wins and losses. So if you want Jim Boylan to try and get them to do things the right way, fundamentals, fixing the transition defense, being better and more physical on the glass, improving your defensive round rebounding, all these things that Boylan cited as the areas of focus where the Bulls need to improve, and the Bulls want to get a look at this coach doing that with these players now that they're coming back and getting healthy, no point in just letting Fred sit there as a lame duck. Because another interesting thing, Jordan, and I want to get your reaction to this. I listened to Sham Charania interviewing, doing a spot on 670 earlier today. He said that according to some of his sources, Boylan has essentially been acting as this team's head coach for a while now. Fred is sitting there. Fred is a figurehead, but it's Boylan who these players are listening to in practice and in games. So as far as timing, okay, today they made it official, but Fred lost this team a while ago. And it seems like certainly, according to what we heard from Paxson today about his confidence in Boylan today taking over and moving forward, and them seeing Boylan as the coach not just as an interim, but finishing this season and being the team's head coach next season, they're ready to see what he can do with these players once they start to get healthy and come back into the rotation.
I have so many questions about that, and I want to get to that at the end of at the other side of a break. But Matt, first, I got to ask this question because it's been stewing with me, and I think some Bulls fans have asked this too. Shams is what, number two as far as reliable sources around the NBA? Or there's probably a collection of five guys that you could say are the most reliable sources in the NBA for content, for breaking news, for reliable news and information, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would put Woj, and then I might put like Mark Stein maybe a little bit ahead just because he's been around longer. But yeah, of course, Shams is right there.
I take things with a grain of salt now since Shams has joined Stadium. And you know what Stadium is, right? Owned by Jerry Reinsdorf, mm-hmm. media head. Their studio, mm-hmm. I believe, is in the United Center, correct? I take anything that he says beyond just, you know, a text from a GM saying this is an official report here, we're sending this out. Little things like that, I have to take with a grain of salt because the Bulls ownership owns it. And what kind of information are they feeding him in order to lighten the load or make their story sound a little bit more more compelling or a little bit more on their side? So I don't say I don't disbelieve anything that he says. I just have to take all that information with a grain of salt because I know who he works for.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same reason why as much as we appreciate whenever Casey Johnson stops by the pod and gives us his insight, when you read his reports in the Chicago Tribune, they are certainly, you know, written in a way that not necessarily are, you know, is him being a staunch defender of the front office, but more so than others, he is the voice of this Bulls front office, and he is quick to remind people of the correct moves they've made and hesitates before criticizing them. It's all about who has the trust of the front office, who can bend the ear of the front office, and who wants to continue to keep those lines of communication open. So take everything you read over the next couple of days with a grain of salt and look at who is reporting it. Because when it comes to finding the truth from this front office, and here's an example. We heard from the horse's mouth, John Paxson earlier today at his press conference, completely refute the notion that Fred Hoiberg was Gar's handpicked guy, that it was Gar's hire and Gar's hire alone. He said that is a 100% false report that it was Gar's pick to hire Fred Hoiberg. He said, I was completely involved and on board with the decision to hire Fred Hoiberg. Michael and Jerry Reinsdorf were involved and completely on board with the decision to hire Fred Hoiberg, completely downgrading the significance of the connection between Gar and Fred being Gar's guy. That is something we had to listen to. Paxson shoved that down our throats just a minute ago. A few seconds later, Nick Friedell, who is now off covering the Warriors, but has covered that Bulls team and heard lots of press conferences from Paxson over the years and was in lots of Bulls practices and Bulls postgame locker rooms over the years, said, look, Gar was Fred's guy. Fred was Gar's guy. You can't refute that. That is the truth. Paxson can try and refute it. He can try and downplay it, saying we were all on board with the hire, but come on. So who do you listen to? Do you listen to John Paxson or do you listen to a guy who covered the team for the better part of a decade? Because in that instance, I believe Nick Friedell. I don't believe John Paxson. Paxson's trying to protect his guy, who, by the way, according to Paxson, quote, yes, Gar is absolutely safe.
Another interesting tidbit from that, too, and I want to get deeper into this because I do have the audio from that, but Nick Friedell also mentioned on a podcast from ESPN that came out today, too, that the relationship between Fred Hoiberg and Gar Vorman had deteriorated over the last year or so. So just throwing that out there, that was on an ESPN podcast. You can listen to that, too. My point being was just about sources and where they come from. And you're totally right and spot on when you say you got to take everything that you hear and read with a grain of salt, because it is. It's hard to pull the truth out of this front office, really. Like, and I think a lot of Bulls fans, too, aren't buying into the fact that They believe that this was all 100% Paxson's decision too, which kind of contradicts a lot of what Bulls fans and media had said before. And same thing with Nick Friedel, friend of the show, that said the same thing, that he was Gar's guy. So yes, very, very interesting. A lot of back and forth, a lot of contradiction too. But we got to get to a short break. When we come back, diving more into this, want to talk a little bit more about Paxson's press conference, some of the follow-up from that, and also get a look and kind of get to know Jim Boylan a little bit, because he is your Bulls head coach going forward till at least the end of the 2019-2020 season. They've said that already before. They've stated it multiple times now over the course of the last 6 hours. So let's get to know him a little bit more. Be back here on Locked On Bulls in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Unbelievable competitor. He's a warrior. Everything he's going through right now. He had a hell of a game tonight. But when you're allowed to discontinue your dribble on every possession, he is impossible to guard. He's impossible to guard when you're able to put your hand underneath the ball and take two or three steps and put it back down. It's impossible to guard him in those situations.
Joseph Pavone, WEEI.com and Causeway Street blog. Fred, did you see Isaiah carry the ball at all in this game?
No.
Ah, yes, the Isaiah Thomas double dribble, the impossible way to stop him. Matt, I think that is going to be one of the highlights I remember of Fred Hoiberg, at least some of the famous quotes that he has, you know, sticking up for his guys in a playoff series, and then followed up by Game 5 where they asked him again, do you think Isaiah Thomas double dribble? What do you think about his movement? And Fred just quickly said no and left the press conference. I think that among the also one I tweeted too is the marketing dunk at Madison Square Garden last year where Hoiberg said he damn near passed out when marketing went up for that nasty dunk on Enes Kanter, which you can hear at the beginning of our episode. But yeah, back here on Locked On Bulls, once again, Fred Hoiberg fired. He is out.
Yeah, Jordan, you know why that stands out, or that stood out to you over the course of his three years and change tenure?
Because he wasn't a robot.
It's because it was one of the very few times that Fred Hoiberg showed the slightest bit of evidence of having a spine. That's why it stands
you
out.
Are really giving Fred Hoiberg some backhanded hits before
he's
getting
out
the door.
He got fired today. Pile on. Why not? Today I am 90% pissed off at the front office and 10% feel like cracking jokes at Fred Hoiberg's expense because, yeah, they got the Hoiberg coaching hire wrong and this is largely on them. But come on, what did Fred Hoiberg ever do to make this fan base feel excited about the fact that he was the guy coaching this team? I'm just so relieved that we are done with, as you put it, quote-unquote Fred Hoiberg era. My God, move on. That guy was milquetoast.
Hoiberg's record finishes up at 115 and 155 as the Bulls head coach for 3 and a fraction seasons. Matt, before we get to Gar Forman and the whole backing of the coaching decision and who speaks for this Bulls front office and who doesn't, I have one burning question about this hire, the inside hire that the Bulls love to seemingly do. And on top of that, the amount of coaches that they've gone through and the amount of hires they have been allowed, especially John Paxson, dating all the way back to Bill Cartwright.
Krause hired Floyd, right? And Krause, I believe, hired Cartwright.
He hired Cartwright, but Paxson took over and Cartwright was still the coach. So he hired 5 guys, but there were 6 total coaches.
Right. So this will be his 5th hire, right? The Boylan, essentially.
6th hire, 7th coach total.
In what, like 16 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Cartwright was the coach, then it was some interim coaches for like 2 games, and then it was Skiles, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Then it was Del Negro, then it was Thibs, then it was Fred Hoiberg, and now this will be their 6th hire, Jim Boylan. So I go back to the question here, Matt. So think about this for a second. If you're the Bulls front office and you are making decisions about Fred Hoiberg and you've got some of these questions, because this can't just build up over, like I said, 60 days. This had to be an ongoing conversation that John Paxson and Gar Forman, among all the other people in the front office, had conversations about this before. If they were so confident in Boylan, and this is not to discredit Boylan at all, if they were so confident that he could be the coach of the future for this team and that maybe he would be next in line, which he is now, Why did they let him go and interview for the Charlotte Hornets head coaching job this summer? Wouldn't you want to retain that asset to the best of your ability? If you have any inclination at all that Fred Hoiberg could be out this season and you want a guy that's going to come in mid-season, why would you let him go interview for that job? So is it either that they felt like something over the last 4 or 5 months triggered them to feel like, okay, Boylan could be the next guy up? Or at the time in the summer, they felt like, okay, Fred Hoiberg's still in a position where he's our coach, that's our guy, and we're not going to worry about that right now. So if Boylan wants to go get a head coaching job, good for him. We want to see the best for him. So go ahead and interview. So to me, that's my biggest burning question is like, if you were so confident in him, why did you let him go interview for another job that he could potentially have been picked away from?
I think, well, they were trying to, be courteous and kind to a guy in Jim Boylan that they very much respect. And I think it's pretty safe to say that they were hoping internally, we're going to let Jim Boylan go take some interviews because we want Jim to feel like he has the freedom to do so while he's under, our employment. But you know that they didn't want Jim Boylan to get any of those jobs because they really liked him as the not just an assistant coach, but the associate head coach of this team. Let's be real. Like Pete Myers, Randy Brown, those guys, like, no, I don't think they'd be employed by any other organization in the NBA. Like, these are not strong assistant coaches they have. Randy Brown, other than being, a bench scrub on the 96 to 98 three-peat team, is most widely known these days as being rumored to be the rat informant that was, tattling on players to the front office. Remember that report from, a couple of years back?
Oh, who could forget?
So, yeah, of course they value Jim Boylan. And as far as being so confident in Fred Hoiberg coming into this season at Media Day, that's just lip service. They knew that there was a good chance that they were going to get to a certain point this season to say, you know what? We appreciate Fred doing his best with the array of different things we've given him. We gave him the tail end of the Rose Noah Dang years to take over, which wasn't easy. We gave him the we still want to stay relevant, here's his last gasp decision of Wade and Rondo, which delayed the rebuild and delayed the Jimmy Butler trade and delayed the breakdown by a year when it didn't need to. And we made Fred deal with that. And we made Fred deal with a tanking season. So it's the least we can do to let Fred start this season with maybe actually a talented young core that is exciting about moving forward and let him see what he can do. We owe Fred at least that much. I mean, they certainly owed Fred at least that much based on what they put him through through the first 3 years of his five-year deal. But, again, I go back to my point about lip service is lip service. And they said at Media Day, Fred's our guy. We're confident. We love what he saw from him. Getting his kids to play with Everett through a tough season last season. And we will continue to evaluate his job performance moving forward. With the back end of that part where they said, we'll continue to evaluate Fred. To me, that was a very obvious clue to say, hey, Fred's job is by no means safe this season. So, of course, I'm sure they were relieved when Jim Boylan stuck around, because if they felt they got to a point mid-season where Fred had to go, of course Boylan was going to be their guy.
That's why I'm just so curious, and like, you may not have the answer. Nobody has the answer. Nobody asked them this. It's like, if he was such an asset to the Bulls, like, you could deny the Hornets from allowing him to interview because there was a potential that he could have gotten that job and been gone. And at that point, I just think to myself, like, if you were just so confident and are going to allow him to stay as head coach, not putting the interim tag on him either, that's another layer to this, is they feel so confident that they're going to let him run with this for at least 2 years, which, okay, fine, internal hiring. But at the same time, it's like, your timeline doesn't really add up to what they're saying. You know where I'm getting at? It's like, I totally agree with you that I don't think the confidence level in Fred Hoiberg was 100% in the summer. And I don't even think it was at 60% in the summer. But I thought that maybe they'll let him survive the season fully healthy and see what happens. But if there was any indication that there might be a change or there's a good chance of a change here mid-season, the guy that they want to go after, and they didn't even do a coaching search now, is still on your team, but he might not have been there this summer. So I'm just very curious, like, all of a sudden, did the confidence level in Boylan being the next head coach come between the end of July and right now? Like, that to me is a very short timeline to say, you know what, I feel like I'm confident enough now to see that guy being a head coach. And that's just like where the timeline for me gets a little bit rocky, and I just don't understand it. It contradicts a lot of the things that they said this summer and at Media Day, enduring through all of these struggles for the first part of this season. So you may not have the answer either, but I thought it was a good question to ask, is like, if you feel so confident, why didn't you just say, no, you know what, we'll have a conversation with Boylan and say, hey, this is what's going on.
Well,
and maybe they didn't want to do that.
Well, I mean, dude, when it comes to this front office, you never know. One thing we did find out today is that they told Boylan on Sunday night what was happening, and Fred didn't find out until he showed up to coach the practice this morning. So there's that.
Right.
As we're piling on this front office that is all kinds of backwards and amoral. But as far as Boylan was asked about his contract situation today, and he said, I'd rather not speak to that right now. I can't speak to that right now. So he is under contract next season as his associate head coach role. So we'll see what happens between the Bulls and Boylan negotiating a new contract, which with a pay more fitting of a head coach, while they pay Fred Hoiberg $5 million next season to not coach. We'll see if they're willing to give Boylan a real contract, as opposed to asking him, hey, maybe we'll give you a pay bump, but we're still going to keep you on, you know, the final year of this deal. We want you to coach in the 2019-2020 season, but then we'll reevaluate where we are and move on from there. I would be surprised to see them ink him to a long-term head coaching deal and head coaching salary at any point before, you know, like the middle of next season. I don't think that's happening at some point this season. I don't think it'll happen next summer in the upcoming off season. I think they're going to see what he does with these 60 or so games and this talented team, and hopefully now getting Bobby and getting Dunn a fully healthy version of this young core, and they're going to evaluate and go from there.
I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be any type of contract extension done until at least maybe the very, very earliest, the beginning of next season, depending how the rest of the season plays out. But even then, Matt, I've got another theory for you, too. You know, we talk about how, like a lot of Bulls fans talk about how this organization is very cheap. How about the other angle, too, is that they still got to pay Fred Hoiberg through next year. And promoting somebody within saves them, what, about $5 million? Well, they would pay Fred Hoiberg the $5 million for next year. But then on top of that, you got to pay a brand new head coach more money. So to me, I'm thinking of it from the angle, too, is like, okay, they want to save some money here, and they can use Jim Boylan because he's like a quasi-head coach at their evaluation right now, and says he's paid his dues. So we can just use him and not have to spend any more money on a new head coach to bring in. So that part plays in too. I think about that too, as far as the money goes, and that's maybe not a huge concern, but it's a factor. Like when you think about, you have to fire Fred Hoiberg, pay him for this year and pay him for next year, like that still adds on top of the money that they have to pay out. So I think about that, and then on top of that too, I think about the comment that you had mentioned about the cross-reporting of whether or not Fred Hoiberg was Gar's guy, and if Paxson was behind that deal too, 100%. He said he was.
I know you guys as an organization kind of all fell on the sword and said Fred was hired as a group, but I mean, I think there's been multiple reports that Gar was front and center in trying to get Fred possibly months before that was officially done. That's been reported numerous times. Why is Gar not being held accountable? Because this is his guy. And secondly, why is Gar not here to talk? Because this is his guy.
Well, first of all, the belief that Gar solely made that decision is wrong. Always has been. Those are reports. You know, we can't battle everything. I was 100% on board with hiring Fred. Jerry and Michael were 100% on board with hiring Fred. I work with Gar every day, and I understand his internal value to this organization. As far as speaking, I am the spokesman as the executive vice president of the Bulls. Gar has a role. We work in tandem together. We make decisions together. But I am the person who's going to stand up in front and talk about why we do certain things. And that's just the way it is. So it's not that he's not talking because he doesn't want to. It's because I choose to speak for this organization. And I feel passionately about his role with us. And we've made some great decisions in terms of young personnel the last couple of years. And as we have the opportunity to make more decisions, he will be front and center. We'll work in tandem, and we hope to do the right things.
And then the follow-up question was, is Gar's job safe?
Gar is absolutely safe, yes.
And Gar wasn't there to speak, and Paxson was fighting off people saying, like, I'm the spokesman of the Bulls. I thought it was very, very interesting to hear them say that, like, Gar is 100% safe, even though Michael Reinsdorf just last month said that nobody's job safe in this organization. But he did add to that that John and Gar, he felt like they were doing a good job. So maybe I shouldn't have been as surprised to hear Paxson say Gar is 100% safe.
The commitment that Fred and the players made this summer to improvement, and I think really are creating a culture with these young guys of playing together, playing hard, working together.
Yeah, I mean, I was not surprised to hear Paxson say that. Bulls fans are allowed to be ticked off that Gar was in the building. He was at the Advocate Center. He was at practice today, sitting on the sidelines. He was there chatting with Michael Reinsdorf. And a few, you know, like not even 100 feet away, here's Paxson talking about the firing of Fred Hoiberg, having to lie through his teeth and deny that Gar should largely be the one responsible for the Bulls firing this guy who didn't work out because it was Gar's guy and Gar's decision to hire Fred, which we all know to be true. And Paxson saying, look, it's not like Gar is hiding from this press conference because he doesn't want to take the responsibility of Fred not working out. He said, Fred, you know, Gar and I each have our respective roles in this front office. I'm the vice president of this organization. I speak for this team. Gar has his role. Gar's role is largely, you know, in the background doing things day to day that I'm not comfortable doing. We have our roles. We know our roles. And I continue to believe that Gar is doing a good job in the role he serves. But he was not having it when I'm pretty sure it was Cowley. Of course it was Cowley. Asked him, hey, why is Fred not talking, or why is Gar not talking to us right now? He's right over there. Can we talk to Gar about Fred not working out? Because those two were thick of thieves. Gar's the reason that Fred was here, and you're covering Gar's ass right now. Of course Bulls fans should be and are allowed to be pissed off at the way that played out and the way that looked today. But was it surprising? Absolutely not. Was it surprising to hear Paxson say that Gar still has his complete support and Gar is completely 100% safe from a job, from a realistic perspective of how much is Gar's job in jeopardy? No, zero, none. That hasn't changed. Why would it change? I know Bulls fans wanted to expect that to change today with the firing of Fred Hoiberg. But the job security of these two individuals is at a ridiculous level that doesn't seem to exist among other NBA teams. It's sad that that's the state that the Bulls fans have to face today, but it's not surprising.
So let's turn our attention now to the new Bulls head coach in Jim Boylan. Just a little background on Boylan. If for those Bulls fans out there that aren't too familiar with him, went to college in Maine, 83-87, and became a coach shortly after that. So he's been coaching since he literally got out of college. Started at Michigan State as his assistant for 5 years, then went to the Rockets. He's a three-time NBA champion, 94, 95, and 2014. So he was an assistant with the Rockets for damn near 10 years, and then the Golden State Warriors for a year, the Milwaukee Bucks for a year, then went back to Michigan State for 2 years, then was the head coach of the University of Utah for 4 years before being fired there, was a Pacers assistant for 2 years, and then a Spurs assistant where they won the championship in 2014, and then on to being the associate head coach here in Chicago as well as an assistant. So definitely a guy who's paid his dues. John Paxson wasn't lying about that. A guy who's been around for a very long time with a lot of good programs and been around the NBA for a very long time. So what are you expecting from him? What types of changes? And I know he mentioned a few, but what are you expecting for them from now till maybe the new year? What are you expecting? What kind of changeover are you expecting to see from Boylan? And what are the expectations for you going forward to the end of the season, Matt?
Well, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves and think that Jim Boylan is going to have a huge impact on this team as far as their offensive rating, their defensive rating, the overall quality of this team. More so than maybe just getting some more bodies back, marking and, you know, knocking off some rust and becoming a very productive player again, getting Bobby Portis and Chris Dunn back in this rotation. That will have a bigger impact, I think, than Jim Boylan. But some things that we heard from him today give me at least a little bit of faith that he might be able to change some things up offensively. For all the times we had to hear the phrase pace and space with Fred attached to Fred Hoiberg's name, the spacing offensively has been putrid in some of these Bulls games recently. Hopefully, again, Markkanen's return, Dunn's return, that'll also continue to help. But he really was preaching stuff on the defensive end, right? We have to do better with our defensive rebounding. The Bulls have been getting outworked on that part of the, in that part of the game all season long. Some of it's because Fred had no other choice but to go with a lot of small ball lineups, given the fact that Markkanen and Bobby were out. Felicio's unplayable. Rolo, you know, play him when you can, whatever. Wendell's been getting into foul trouble because he's a 19-year-old rookie. So some of that, not on Fred. Some of that still is like, okay, well, Boylan was still known to be the architect of this team's defense from his chair as the associate head coach. So how much can you really expect to change there with just Boylan now taking over as the lead voice during the game? Maybe some. Maybe we'll see some change there. And then the same thing for transition defense. That's another thing Boylan talked about today. Transition defense for this team has been laughably bad. Will Boylan give guys quick hooks, not just bench guys, but scream in their face as he's benching them because they busted or blew an assignment or showed a lack of effort getting back in transition defense? Cough, Jabari, who is now going to be on the bench on Tuesday. Good for Jim Boylan.
We're 27th in, I think, defensive rebounding. We've been in a number of games, and the last possession we haven't gotten, or in the last 5 minutes we haven't gotten a ball that we needed to get. So that's a point of emphasis that we're working on. We worked on today. And we're not going to band-aid it. We're going to work on it every day. So that's one. Transition defense is two. And then offensive execution. The items within the play we have to improve at. Screening. Passing, cutting, and those aren't things that weren't emphasized by Fred. Fred emphasized those too, but we have to grow in those. We have to get better with that. Our physicality needs to improve. Our attention to detail needs to improve. Our team is 24.5 years old. We're the second youngest team in the league, but we can't use that as an excuse not to get better every day.
Maybe we'll start to see some noticeable changes there. But, I mean, I'm not expecting a huge shift. We're probably going to get that dead cat bounce, right? Like, honestly, put money on the Bulls in Indianapolis on Tuesday, right? Like, that's a shorthanded team playing without Oladipo. Teams that are playing their first game after they get a new head coach and their previous coach has been fired have a crazy track record of going out and winning that first game, win one for the new Gipper. Maybe the Bulls get that and end their losing streak. But as far as like some huge overturn of what we see from this Bulls team on a nightly basis because Boylan's in and Hoiberg's out, I'm going to hold my breath on that one and wait to see what really happens.
I agree with you. I think it's the other things you talked about, a lot of the X's and O's, and kind of referenced what Jim Boylan had to say today at the opening press conference. But I'm thinking more so like larger scale and the things that Fred Hoiberg got fired for. You know, John Paxson kept referencing
these
intangibles.
Many, many
nobody
intangibles,
asked him specifically, what are those intangibles that
there,
you
there
keep
are
referencing?
Many, many
nobody
intangibles,
asked him that.
And
I'm like, somebody, please tell. Like, he dropped intangibles five
there,
times.
There are many, many
the press
intangibles.
I'm like, what are those? The examples, please.
There are many, many intangibles.
Like, is it connecting with players? Is it being able to have good relationships with them? Is it be able to get on guys to be at their best at all times? Like, what are those little intangibles? And he gave us a little bit of a spotlight into why I think maybe these guys will buy into what Boylan has to serve up, because he talked about trips that he went on to meet players, whatever he needed to do in order to make Fred Hoiberg successful. He did. He said he went out and visited Jimmy Butler for a few weeks at a time and spent time working with him.
I've proven every day on this practice floor and with this team of my loyalty and devotion to Fred. And I busted my hump for him, rightfully so. That's my job as a soldier in this thing. So, you know, from my summers going to Finland to going to see Dunn to traveling to California to spend 2 weeks with Jimmy Butler in our first couple years, you know, whatever it is I was going to do to help Fred be successful, and he knows that, Joe.
He mentioned a few other guys too throughout the press conference that he went and met with their time. So maybe it is player relations, and maybe that's something that we'll be able to see more now than anything else. And I go back to Matt when we talked to Bobby Portis back in September. I remember him specifically before even naming Fred Hoiberg. He named Jim Boylan as a guy that he felt like was instrumental in him getting to the next level of where he wanted to be as a player. And I take a lot from that. A guy that came into the league late first round pick, had some injury problems, and was able to develop his game into what we saw last year, and then even coming into this season. So I give him a little bit of credit there. And then the last thing I got to tell you, Matt, is, hey, does Jim Boylan have any type of relationship with Kawhi Leonard by chance? Perchance? Maybe?
Kawhi ain't going here, man.
I know.
Quit fooling yourself.
But I think overall, looking at like from now till the end of the season, once they get healthy, obviously they're going to win some more games, and I hate it because I already know it's coming, and a lot of other Bulls fans know it's coming. So you're going to say, see, we need to make a coaching change because we went on a run with obvious choice. Our better players are actually playing and are actually healthy. That would have happened if Fred Hoiberg was here or not. So they're going to try to use that and say, hey, maybe we needed to make a coaching change. And I don't know when that day is coming, but it is coming before this end of the season happens.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would say we didn't learn a whole lot today based on what we heard from John Paxson. We learned a little bit about who Jim Boylan is today. And certainly those who aren't familiar with Boylan's work, look at his resume, go back and watch some of his tape from, you know, coaching on the sidelines at Utah games, and learn a little bit about his personality. And that is the thing that I'm most excited about today. That's the thing I'm taking away. I am still not impressed in the least with this Bulls front office. I still think that at the end of the day, they are this team and this organization's biggest problem, and we are not going to see real change until this front office is overturned. And honestly, maybe even this ownership group is gone and sells this team to someone else who actually cares about winning in a real sense. But the one happy thing that I'm taking away from today, in a midst of, oh my God, this hypocrisy, that hypocrisy, are you kidding me? How is this front office still employed kind of feelings, is I am excited to see a person holding the title of Bulls head coach who has some personality on the sidelines. I was so ready to be done with Fred Hoiberg. I didn't really love the idea of him being an NBA coach when he came in. I had never been truly impressed with his X's and O's and his in-game adjustments and his game-to-game adjustments and his rotations. Yes, okay, fine. This, that, and the other. But look at what he was dealt with. Fine. I'm just glad the Bulls have a personality in the head coaching seat again, because I'm sorry, three going on 3 years and change of having to listen to Fred Hoiberg doing interviews at practice, doing interviews post-game, doing interviews pre-game, doing interviews at media day. If I had to listen to one more boring-ass press conference from that guy, I was going to stab my eyes and ears out with an ice pick. Jim Boylan may not be a great, amazing coach who's going to turn this team around. We'll see what happens with Jim Boylan. But thank God we don't have to listen to Fred Hoiberg's lifeless, robotic drone of a voice anymore. The Bulls have an interesting character leading this team. For that, we can be thankful and at least a little bit excited for a fresh start.
Are you driving Fred Hoiberg's car right off the edge of the cliff, man, at the end of the episode, too? But I got to ask you one thing. I'm going to kick myself if I don't say this, because the one thing we haven't brought up yet, bothered by the fact that they decided to stick with Boylan for an extension outside of just this year and keep him under contract. Like, they didn't need to do that right now. Like, don't you think that it's a little bizarre that all of a sudden, yes, we're going to extend him beyond this year instead of saying, you know what, at this time we don't know yet, so we don't have to slap the interim name on him yet, but we're going to reevaluate things at the end of the year and see where they're at. Like, don't you find it a little bit bizarre that they did do that, that they didn't do that, and they just said, you know what, no, he's going to be our coach until his contract's up at 2019-2020. I feel like that's a bit bizarre for me, that you didn't even go out and evaluate any other talent that could potentially be out there from now to the end of the season and have like a legitimate coaching search, but that's not normal for
Jordan,
the Bulls,
who's out there, though? Most of the other coaching candidates that they might want to look at outside of an in-house promotion of Jim Boylan are people who are assistant coaches on other teams right now, or head coaches on other teams right now that might get fired from their current team. So it's not like they could make that search mid-season. That's not really realistic.
No. That's why I'm asking, like, why couldn't they just, instead of saying, yes, he's our head coach 100% going forward for the next 2 years, and that's basically what they said to us, why couldn't they stop and say, you know what, we're going to reevaluate everything at the end of the season? They didn't need to make the knee-jerk decision to make him head coach right now.
Because they want Jim Boylan to be confident and happy coaching this team for the remaining 60 games. That's why. They don't want Jim Boylan wondering and always trying to, like, you know, peep one ear into conversations between Paxton and Foreman about his job security. He wants to have the vote of confidence from his bosses from day one, and that's what they gave him. I don't fault them for that. It makes perfect logical sense that they would give him that much vocal support right now.
So you're not that bothered by the fact that they didn't initially at least have, like, this coming together and figuring out, let's go out and have a coaching search at the end of the year instead of just slapping head coach on a guy that we have in our staff and promoting him. So you're not angry at that at all?
Well, okay. Let's give Paxton a little bit of, not credit, but I'm going to just defend his words for a second here. He did not say, unquestionably, 100% Jim Boylan will be our coach next season. He said, we hope and plan for Jim Boylan to be our coach next season. He left himself some wiggle room there. So it's not like just saying that, you know, Jim Boylan is not just an interim coach, but he is our new head coach, does not prevent the Bulls from maybe doing a little bit of a coaching search come the offseason if they're not impressed with what Boylan does with these 60 games. He still gave himself that out. And in the meantime, it makes perfect sense to give him that full support because you want Jim Boylan to be happy and confident in his job security while he's trying to turn this team around.
Right, and that's fine. I'm just curious if like that's the best hire you could make. And you're right, they can make any decision at any time. I just found it a bit odd, and it makes sense. It's what the Bulls do. They hire within. Like, we're not surprised by any of this. So to me, I get it. I get that point, but I had to bring it up because I saw takes all over the place saying, like, what was the point of this? Why didn't you wait till the end of the season to be able to evaluate who's going to be out there? You don't know who's going to get fired from now to the end of the season, and why not evaluate it then? But it makes sense at the same time because I'm thinking about it from the player's perspective and, like you said, from the head coach's perspective. Same thing with the guy up in Cleveland. He didn't want to feel like he was just going to be an interim. He wanted some verification that he was going to be around longer than just one season and be able to coach and fully engulf himself in that. So I can understand it from that standpoint. And also, same thing goes back to what I said about Fred Hoiberg. Will they buy into a guy that's just maybe going to be here next year? Or let's put the confidence in him now that at least all the players know here that they're buying into a system that's going to be around here a long time. So maybe that's, I'm thinking it from that way, and it makes my perspective a little bit more, your argument a little bit more just, and that makes more sense. But I found it very curious, and I think a lot of other people did, about the coaching hire, like doing it right now.
It would benefit precisely no one, front office, coaching staff, players, to have said today, if you're John Paxson, well, Jim Boylan's going to fill in for us for the end of this season, and then from there we'll see where it goes. That helps no one. That gives no sense of confidence and level of control to Jim Boylan. It doesn't make the front office look good, because certainly they didn't look great today, but that would have made them look even worse. And it doesn't make the players feel like Boylan is a guy that now commands, that needs to command their respect, because he is the guy moving forward. It would have been stupid to say today, well, Jim's going to fill in for now, and then we'll see where we go at the end of this season. That would not have benefited anyone.
And maybe that's to the fault of the front office. They're willing to take the hit on it and say, yeah, you know what, we're going to hire this guy. This we're going to promote him within, and, you know, we'll take the smacks at you guys for saying that we didn't do our due diligence in doing a coaching hire for the next guy you want to hire. So maybe that's them saying
they're willing to take the hit on it because they can take all the hits. We have learned this. There's nothing about them that says job performance is correlated in any way to job security. So if the front office needs to take a hit on this, whatever this is, as far as Jim Boylan taking over and being the head coach moving forward, if something happened today where they needed to take a hit, they could take a hit. Because guess what? job security for life, apparently.
Yeah, and ultimately it comes down to that, I guess. You know, they can take the hit because it seems like their jobs are basically 100% bulletproof lifetime jobs if they want it. So we'll have this discussion and more on tomorrow's episode. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Coach, you started that second half missing your first 12 shots. Explain how you were feeling during that run.
Like shit. That's how I was feeling. How am I supposed to answer that? How would you be feeling? Ball didn't go in the hoop.
Whipped cream on a turd still tastes like
Coach, you hold.
Don't come here once every 2 years and ask those questions. I don't want to hear that from you.
I can ask the question.
Good. Ask. I'm not answering it. Don't come here once every 2 years. I don't want to hear that from you. Yeah. They see to show up.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.